Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Today is a day of new beginnings. I'm taking over as host of the Sharp 600 from Joe Fortenbaugh, who did an incredible job. Like him, I aim to provide you sports betting value while entertaining at the same time. To give you a quick background on myself, I'm a Yinzer who grew up in Pittsburgh, and I've lived in Chicago for the last 10 years. My sports fandom started with Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr. They won back-to-back Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Then Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls became the biggest thing in my life. I wanted to be like Mike. Then a guy named Bill Cowher became coach of the Steelers and took my football fandom to die-hard status. Fast forward to now, and sports is not only my passion, but it's what I do for a living. When I'm not hosting a sports betting podcast for Covers.com, I also run a company called Bacon Sports. What started out as a sports comedy blog and community for people who loved rocking jerseys turned into a sports creative agency. Through this all, I've been someone who has always loved sports betting. I'll do anything to get action on a game. And it's why I consider myself an action junkie. I care less about the dollar amount that I bet on a game than I do the entertainment. On a typical football weekend, I'll have anywhere from 10 to 20 bets going on. I'm someone who's a very disciplined bettor. I have three principles that are foundational to the way that I bet. Number one, bankroll management. It is super important. I bet anywhere between 1 and 5% of my bankroll on a single bet without fail. I'm very disciplined here because it allows me to fight for another day and not have swings that are too high or too low. Number two, I'm an informed bettor. While I love all things sports, I certainly need help informing my opinion. I need as much information as possible, like what you find on covers.com or with guests that I'll be bringing on the podcast. I like to find trusted sources that can confirm the thoughts that I have, or quite frankly, sometimes I'll just take them on their word if I like the opinion, because once again, I'm an entertainment bettor and I'm doing this to try and put the best foot forward with my sports betting picks. And number three, I'm a contrarian bettor. I like betting against the public because if betting were easy, there wouldn't be huge casinos in Vegas. Because of this, I've learned to get comfortable being uncomfortable. If a side looks gross, chances are I'm considering it. And along these same lines, I also believe in the 80-20 rule for football. I'll almost blindly bet the 20% when 80% of the action is on the other side. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk about you, the Sharp 600 betting community. I want to hear from you. I want you to be part of the show. I'm very active on social media. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. If you don't act like a jabroni, I will respond back to you and we'll have a great time doing it. If you smell what the Rob is cooking. The kickoff of this podcast also coincides with the return of football. We've got NFL preseason action starting. To help us be more informed preseason football bettors, joining me on the show is Steve Merrill, professional handicapper. Steve, super excited to have you on the show.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Let's start with this. I don't want to feel like a square by betting on preseason football. What are some things sports bettors should take into consideration when betting preseason?
Well, first of all, a lot of people feel like you cannot beat the preseason, that these are just scrimmage games and that it's silly that there are lines on it. But there are lines for a reason, because you can bet these games and you can win money doing so. In fact, this will be the 24th football season for me as a full-time professional handicapper. I started back in 1996. I've been doing this for over half my life now. And I've beaten the preseason consistently now for three decades. I will say this, though, Rob. The methods I use now have definitely changed over the past three decades. Back when I started in 1996. Back then, it was more about getting the information. This is when the internet was just starting in the mid-90s, and you really could find out which team was going to play their starters two or three quarters, which team was going to play their starting lineup longer. And you could use that information to win. Now everybody has that information. You go to covers.com, right on the front page, you're going to have the quarterback rotations each and every night for the preseason games. So it's not about getting the information anymore. It's about what you do with the information. And that's why I've tweaked my handicapping method over the past couple of decades. With that said, though, there is still value in the preseason and there's still money to be made.
So can you dig a little bit deeper on some things that you look at that we should be considering? So we've got all of this information. How are you making informed decisions on your bets?
Well, first of all, you have to look at motivation. The key to handicapping the preseason isn't about which team has the better starters, because most of them never play. I mean, first of all, in week one, sometimes they never play. And then in week two and week four, they barely play. Week three is kind of the dress rehearsal game. That is when the starting lineups play at least two or three quarters. But other than that one week, you really have to handicap the games, trying to figure out which team is going to be better with their backups. And that's very difficult to do, since a lot of these guys won't even be on an NFL roster a month from now. So what I look at is more motivation and mindset of the coaching staff and the players. And just to give you a couple examples, first of all, some coaches want to win in the preseason. Some don't care. They just want to look at the players. And this is well known over the years. You can look at coaches' point spread records, their win-loss records. Some guys have made more of an effort than others. Now, with that said, the odds makers and the betting public also have that information, and the lines are normally adjusted accordingly. So you have to dig a little deeper. I look at all the local newspapers still, and you want to kind of get a feel like, is this a game which the coaches really want to go out there and make a statement, or are they going to just go through the motions? Something else I look at still is the quarterback rotation. I mentioned how that is known information now, but it is very important. More so than ever in the NFL, quarterbacks dictate these games. We see that in the regular season, but we see it in the preseason as well. And it's not about the starting quarterback. It's about the second and third string quarterbacks, because those are the guys that play the majority of the game. And what I love to see is a team that has a quarterback battle for either first or second string position, because then those teams usually run their offense a little more serious and try to make more of an effort to win, because they want to see what those quarterbacks can do.
What about if we're looking at over-unders?
Totals are tricky. There's no question that preseason games are much lower scoring than regular season games, and the totals reflect that. We never see totals in the 30s anymore in the NFL. I mean, we see totals in the high 50s now in the regular season, which is something that was unheard of a few years ago. NFL preseason games have always been in the low 30s, especially the first couple weeks. And there's a few reasons for that. First of all, the defenses are normally ahead of the offenses early on in the summer. It takes longer to get your game plan, to get all the players together, whereas the defense can just go out there and be aggressive and kind of attack. So preseason games are lower scoring, but there are some situations where you do want to look at the over. First of all, as I just mentioned, when you have a quarterback rotation battle, I love looking at the over in those games, because first of all, those teams are more likely to throw the ball a little bit more than other teams, because they want to see what those quarterbacks can do. That can lead to more big passing plays. It can lead to more stoppages. It stretches the game out and just more scoring in general. Vice versa, if a team does not have a quarterback battle, sometimes you want to look at the under a few more times, because there's not going to be as many big plays and they're going to probably just kind of go through the motion, maybe test out the running backs and the offensive line more.
Does the 80-20 rule of fading the public apply to preseason games?
You have to be careful with public money in the preseason. I love to look at the covers consensus for all sports, especially the major sports like NBA, Major League Baseball, and NFL. The professional sports, I think there's some great value in fading the public. But the public isn't always wrong. What I say is I use that as a filter. You know, I'm looking at 10 or 15 different factors. If I'm on the edge on a game, and the public is on the same side, that might be enough for me to pass. But if they're on the other side, that might be enough for me to pull the trigger and make it a best bet. The preseason is tricky, though, because it's a very thinly traded market. The limits are very low, and a lot of the public does not bet the preseason. I'd say less than half of the people that play the NFL regular season, maybe only a quarter, are actually betting preseason games. And you have to be very careful, because they're not digging very deep, and they might be clicking these consensus picks on the contest, but not really handicapping the games or betting them. So I tread lightly with the consensus on these preseason games, but I think it's a huge valuable tool for the NFL regular season. It's something I use myself.
Traditionally, I would prefer to get points than give points. So when we're looking at the NFL preseason and when there's a high degree of variability with a lot of unknowns because of a lack of starters in there, do you have any thought processes on giving points or getting points when it comes to placing your bets in the preseason?
Yeah, it's interesting, Rob. You know, over the years, I haven't gone back and tracked it, but I would say I'm probably on favorites more than underdogs. And the reason being is because a team is normally favored in what is considered a random game for a reason. And that's usually because they have the motivation edge, or they had the quarterback rotation edge, or there's some other intangible factor that maybe the general public doesn't see that makes that team more likely to win the game. So I don't think you want to just blindly play underdogs. I will say this, though. Home teams win about 60% of the time in the preseason, very similar to they do in the regular season. So once again, home field advantage is worth about 2.5 to 3 points in a preseason game. So when you see a 3-point home favorite, as you do in many of these games, the odds makers are basically saying it's a toss-up. The two teams are equal. With that motivation of being at home probably is just enough to get that team to try a little bit harder. If it's a tie game in the fourth quarter, maybe make a little bit more effort to win the game for the home fans. So that's usually why you see a team as a slight favorite in the preseason. Now, when you see 6 or 7 point favorites, as you often do, that's usually because a team is going to make more of an effort to win. But I will say, once the line gets to 7.5 or higher, which we don't see too often, I try to start looking for a reason to take the underdog. It's usually difficult because usually all the intangibles are pointing towards that favorite. But very seldom do you want to be playing favorites laying more than a touchdown in the preseason, because even if they have the motivational edge or the quarterback edge, you're still going to have a game decided by third stringers, and that's really kind of a random occurrence. So I do think when you start getting to big underdogs, they're worth a look. The other factor I'll point out too, which we haven't talked about, I've been talking about kind of the lineups and the motivation. When a team gets blown out in a game or they get shut out the week before, historically they've been a good play in the next week. And a lot of times you get them as an underdog because they look so bad. But it's just human nature. Even though coaches might not really care about winning in the preseason, if you lose a game 30-0, you subconsciously you're going to make more of an effort the next week. You're going to be a little nastier in practice. And those are underdogs I often look to play and have done quite well with over the last few years.
How much of that, though, is baked into next week's line? Because Vegas also knows that.
It is. But, you know, we talked about fading the public. I'm not real big on public money in the preseason because it's limited. But I think it's very difficult for the average bettor to back a team that looked that bad the week before. So I think that's one of those situational technical angles that I've used since the 90s that will continue to work. And when you're using technical analysis, as I do along with other, you know, forms of handicapping, you always want to make sure the angle makes sense. You also want to make sure nothing has changed recently where it won't work anymore. And that's just one of those human nature things where it's very difficult to back an ugly dog that just got blown out. And I think that's an angle that'll continue to work because I don't think the odds makers, and more importantly, I don't think the betting public compensates enough where the line value is gone. I think it's still there, and those are underdogs worth taking a look at.
Last thing I want to get you out on, how does your betting mindset change as the weeks in the preseason go on? So when the starters do play a little bit more, so if we look at week 1, 2, 3 to 4, take us to your mindset on that.
Yeah, one thing I'll point out about week 3, that is usually the dress rehearsal game, as I mentioned earlier. The starters always play a full half. Many of them play into the third quarter. What a lot of teams seem to do nowadays is they come out of the locker room and they play one more series because they want their starters used to coming out after halftime and playing. So basically, you're getting 2+ quarters out of every team. So what you might want to do in week 3 especially is take a look at the first half line. Now, once again, the odds makers are sharp. They're on to this. If the better team is a 4-point favorite in the game, they might be a 3-point favorite in the first half line because basically that's what the handicap is. So it's not going to just be half. It's going to be more. But you still take out that uncertainty of the backups. So in week 3, you might want to look at some first half plays because you're getting a true handicap of starters versus starters. Week 4 is very tricky because basically no starters play at all anymore. But what I like about week 4 is that you've now had 3 other preseason games to look at the backups, to look at the second and third string quarterbacks, and offer you could start to take away some, you know, value, which maybe guys are playing better than expected. So week 4, you're handicapping strictly the backup. It's the complete opposite of the week 3 handicap. But if you do your homework from the first few weeks, sometimes you find some hidden gems. And once again, I love looking for situations where there's a quarterback battle for that second spot, because basically those two guys in week 4 are going to be going head-to-head and the starter will probably be on the bench.
Steve, it feels so good to have football back, even if we are just talking NFL preseason betting. Where can everybody connect with you on social?
Yeah, they can go to Twitter. It's Steve Merrill, 2 R's, 1 L, M-E-R-R-I-L, Steve Merrill on Twitter. And then, of course, Covers Experts right there off of the Covers.com homepage. Go to Steve Merrill, Covers Experts. You will get the official best bets that I am personally using each and every day. Same games I've won with consistently now for 23-plus years. As I mentioned, this will be my 24th football season. It's going to be a great one. I'm excited. And we're going to make some money this year for everyone.
And I want to hear from you. Will you be betting NFL preseason games? You can hit me up on Twitter, at Rob Cressy. And make sure to also tag at Covers. Use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And remember, if you want to be a Sharp, Don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The Funkadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action, so everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.